moment a man wrapped in a cloak stood up like a ghost against one of the columns of the uncompleted basilica, and gliding slowly and carefully among the stones which were lying about round the foundations of the new church, advanced as far as the fountain which formed the center of the piazza, erected in the very place where the obelisk is now set up of which we have spoken already. When he reached this spot he stopped, doubly concealed by the darkness of the night and by the shade of the monument, and after looking around him to see if he were really alone, drew his sword, and with its point rapping three times on the pavement of the piazza, each time made the sparks fly. This signal, for signal it was not lost. The last lamp which still kept vigil in the Vatican went out, and at the same instant an object thrown out of the window fell a few paces off from the young man in the cloak. He, guided by the silvery sound it had made in touching the flags, lost no time in laying his hands upon it in spite of the darkness, and when he had it in his possession hurried quickly away. Thus the unknown walked without turning round halfway along the Borgo Vecchio, but there he turned to the right and took a street at the other end of which was set up a Madonna with a lamp. He approached the light and drew from his pocket the object he had picked up, which was nothing else than a Roman crown piece. But this crown unscrewed, and in a cavity hollowed in its thickness enclosed a letter, which the man to whom it was addressed began to read at the risk of being recognized, so great was his haste to know what it contained. We say at the risk of being recognized, for in his eagerness the recipient of this nocturnal missive had thrown back the hood of his cloak, and as his head was wholly within the luminous circle cast by the lamp, it was easy to distinguish in the light the head of a handsome young man of about 5 or 6 and 20, dressed in a purple doublet slashed at the shoulder and elbow to let the shirt come through, and wearing on his head a cap of the same color, with a long black feather falling to his shoulder. It is true that he did not stand there long, for scarcely had he finished the letter, or rather the note, which he had just received in so strange and mysterious a manner, when he replaced it in its silver receptacle, and readjusting his cloak so as to hide all the lower part of his face, resumed his walk with a rapid step, crossed Borgo San Spirito, and took the street of the Long Era, which he followed as far as the church of Regina Celi. When he arrived at this place, he gave three rapid knocks on the door of a house of good appearance, which immediately opened. Then slowly mounting the stairs, he entered a room where two women were awaiting him with an impatience so unconcealed that both, as they saw him, exclaimed together, "Well, Francesco, what news?" "Good news, my mother, good my sister," replied the young man, kissing the one and giving his hand to the other. "Our father has gained 3 votes today, but he still needs 6 to have the majority." "Then is there no means of buying them?" cried the elder of the two women, while the younger, instead of speaking, asked him with a look. "Certainly, my mother, certainly," replied the young man, "and it is just about that my father has been thinking. He is giving Cardinal Orsini his palace at Rome and his 2 castles of Monticello and Soriano, to Cardinal Colonna his abbey of Subiaca. He gives Cardinal Sant'Angelo the bishopric of Porto, with the furniture and cellar, to the Cardinal of Parma the town of Nepi, to the Cardinal of Genoa the church of Santa Maria Inviolata, and lastly, to Cardinal Savelli the church of Santa Maria Maggiore and the town of Civita Castellana. As to Cardinal Ascanio Sforza, he knows already that the day before yesterday we sent to his house 4 mules laden with silver and plate, and out of this treasure he has engaged to give 5,000 ducats to the Cardinal Patriarch of Venice. But how shall we get the others to know the intentions of Roderigo?" asked the elder of the two women. "My father has provided for everything, and proposes an easy method. You know, my mother, with what sort of ceremonial the cardinal's dinner is carried in." "Yes, on a litter, in a large basket with the arms of the cardinal for whom the meal is prepared. My father has bribed the bishop who examines it. Tomorrow is a feast day. To the cardinals Orsini, Colonna, Savelli, Sant'Angelo, and the cardinals of Parma and of Genoa, chickens will be sent for hot meat, and each chicken will contain a deed of gift duly drawn up, made by me in my father's name, of the houses, palaces, or churches which are destined for each." "Capital," said the elder of the two women. "Now I am certain all will go well." "And by the grace of God," added the younger, with a strangely mocking smile, "our father will be Pope." "Oh, it will be a fine day for us," cried Francesco. "And for Christendom," replied his sister, with a still more ironical expression. "Lucrezia, Lucrezia," said the mother, "you do not deserve the happiness which is coming to us." "What does that matter if it comes all the same? Besides, you know the proverb, mother, large families are blessed of the Lord, and still more so our family, which is so patriarchal." At the same time she cast on her brother a look so wanton that the young man blushed.